From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. A federal judge in Atlanta yesterday rejected a request for Georgia voters to use paper ballots in the November midterm elections. U.S. District Judge Amy Totenberg criticized election officials for failing to adequately address vulnerabilities in the state's electronic voting machines, but said she was concerned that switching to paper ballots under a tight deadline would increase voter frustration and disaffection. The request for an injunction was brought by voting rights and integrity groups, many of which are also focused on voter turnout. As NPR political reporter Asma Khalid has found, midterm elections have not drawn a majority of voters to the polls since the dawn of the 20th century. She came to Georgia to find out why, and she's now on assignment in Michigan, where we reached her on the line. Hello, Asma.
Hi.
So the U.S. has lower voter turnout than most developed countries. Now, how low are we talking?
We're talking pretty low. So in midterm elections, if you look at the past two election cycles, it's just kind of a handy metric. You're seeing elections where we had 40% turnout. So that's pretty low, right? You're talking about a situation in which a majority of people, roughly 60% of the population, stayed home. And then if you look further into that data at different minority groups or at young people, you're seeing even lower levels of turnout. So the 18 to 29-year-old population had about 20% turnout in the 2014 midterm.
So what is keeping people from turning out to vote, especially during midterms?
I would say, it's kind of twofold, right? I mean, there are a whole bunch of reasons when you ask people why they don't vote that come down to a choice factor. They'll say that they're too busy, that they don't have time, they don't care, they don't like their options, they don't feel that their vote matters. And all of those sort of reasons I would lump into the fact that these are people who could vote, but who are choosing not to vote. And then there's another category of people who legitimately do want to vote, but somehow get stuck along the way. Somehow the process, gets them caught up. And those are people who face a variety of voting barriers, right? And these are people that I will say are a lot harder to find because, oftentimes when I spoke with a number of voting rights organizations, they will say they know the people who try to go to vote and maybe their names were purged from the voting list, or people who will try to go for a variety of reasons and have registration problems because those are the people that contact their organizations. But they have a variety of reasons for believing that actually the real number of people who ultimately try to show up and have these registration problems but just walk away and say, forget it, I'm not going to bother with this, is substantially higher than we know.
Well, you did speak with several people, one of whom, Raymond Taylor, he was at a barbershop here in Georgia, mm-hmm. who told you that he had voted but doesn't now. Let's hear him.
Well, the reason I don't vote on a national level around here because I don't think it's a red state, in other words. So I'm pretty sure it's like I could do my own mathematics and figure out what's going on and pretty much say, hey, this vote is not going to really matter for president.
So similar sentiment to other people that you heard, it doesn't matter. It's a red state. Who cares?
Yeah. And I think that that's a really interesting point, Virginia, because if you look at turnout across the country, you'll notice that some of the highest turnout rates were in states, if we look at the 2016 election, where the margin of victory was less than 5%. What I find really interesting, and I'm sure you all as Georgians probably even find this more interesting, is that the politics in Georgia is changing. But I feel like I'm talking to a lot of voters who don't feel that way. They still feel like the state is overwhelmingly a red state, that their vote doesn't matter. And I met Raymond in Middle Georgia, in Houston County. And part of why I went to Houston County is, it's a fairly diverse place with a fairly sizable African-American population. And one of the things that I got just from walking around and talking to people is that the Black population there feels, to some degree, I should say, that they are largely, economically disenfranchised compared to some of the other populations. And so I spent a lot of time going around with the New Georgia Project, which is a group that is focused on boosting voter turnout, specifically minority voter turnout. And they were targeting people in affordable housing units and in mobile trailer home parks. And these are really, I would argue, people who are poor on the socioeconomic ladder. And when we look at voting data, historically we have seen that people who are on that lower rung of the socioeconomic ladder are more likely the people who are not going to show up, whether it's a presidential election or a midterm election year.
So here is one of the people that you spoke to there in Houston County, Dante Romph.
We tend to get looked over every time a presidency comes. You know, people still have the same issues with, you know, racial. You know, it gets real deep real fast. But that stuff seems to just continue no matter who's in office.
So, Dante Rumpf there in Houston County. You went literally just knocking on doors with the new Georgia Project?
We did. And, you know, Dante, I met in this affordable housing unit. And what I thought was so interesting about him is, in some ways, his story to me is, it's so sad because you get the sense that he doesn't feel like voting actually will substantially change his life. But honestly, Virginia, that was not a particularly novel factor, right? I mean, we heard similar sentiments in other parts of the country. I spent some time in Las Vegas. I had colleagues who reported out in West Virginia as well as Texas. But it's a fairly common feeling, particularly among people who are, you know, either in minority groups or, you know, I would say are sort of on that lower rung of the socioeconomic ladder, where they feel like politicians don't care about them. And Dante told me this. I mean, he's 24 years old. He had never voted before. He has never registered to vote. He did register that day with the New Georgia Project. And I asked him, you know, are you planning on voting? He was kind of indifferent. He's like, I don't know. You know, he was not aware of who was running for governor this November. His mother, who was over his shoulder, was aware, and tried to, you know, sort of encourage him. But ultimately, he told me that there's this feeling of being overlooked. And I would argue that that is something we heard time and again. It's sort of a symbol of the broader class divide that we see in who votes and who doesn't vote.
I'm speaking with NPR political reporter Asma Khalid. She was here in Georgia. She's on a nationwide tour of the country, and she's looking at voters, how they vote and why they don't vote. And Asma, here in Georgia, you looked, you mentioned a voter purging or not being on the rolls. So tell us how voters are purged here in Georgia.
So there's a couple of really interesting things, I think, going on in Georgia. And I spoke with the Brennan Center, which had did a pretty comprehensive review of voter purges. And what they saw is that over time, they had seen a greater uptick in the percentage of people who were purged from, I believe it was 2014 through 2016, compared to the equivalent period of time if we look at 2006 through 2008, right? So if we look at the two-year span before a big presidential election. And we're talking about a substantially large number of people who were purged in the latter period. And I talked to them about places and states where they saw this happen, and they said one of the things where they noticed an uptick was in states that had been previously covered under the Voting Rights Act. And one of those jurisdictions, one of those states, is Georgia. And so, they, you know, I should preface this by saying a lot of states will clean up the voting rolls. This is something very routine, and it's something that's fairly necessary to remove people who've moved or died, just in order to keep your voting rolls accurate. What we have heard from some people is that at times, though, people are getting purged with such a sort of routine nature and without maybe the due diligence that's needed in order to ensure that people whose names should legitimately be on that list are there. And so I spent some time in Hancock County, which is about 100 miles east of Atlanta. And it's a really interesting story there because there is this law in the Georgia Code of Elections where if you don't believe so-and-so in your community legitimately lived at the address on file, you can challenge them individually. I can go up and say, you know, I don't think Joe Schmo lives in that house, and I formally put through this legal challenge to his voting eligibility. What happened in Hancock County is that these challenges were done in mass. And so you had a situation where about 17% of the voting population of this tiny town, Sparta, Georgia, was challenged. And this is fairly unheard of. You're talking about a situation where over 100 some people were challenged. It is a community in which about 3/4 of the population are African American. But what happened as a result then is a majority of the people whose names were removed from the voting rolls were African American. And so this then moves up the ranks and ends up going through to the Department of Justice. And this all happened in about 2015. Since then, there was a lawsuit, there was a legal challenge, and many of the people's names who were scrubbed from the voting rolls have been re-added to the list. I think we have a cut of tape of one gentleman I met. His name is Merritt Hubert. He's a young man, and honestly, what I did, Virginia, is I just found his name in the voting rolls, and I went to his door, and I knocked on it, and he was there. He was at the address on file, but he told me that they had tried to remove him saying that he did not live at the address I'm filing this in, the very address at which I found him at.
Here is just a short clip of Merritt Hubert.
Basically, I think it's a racism thing that they want whites to run the town. I think basically that's what it is.
Asma, that is Merritt Hubert speaking from Sparta near Milledgeville, Georgia. Asma, your line is fading a little bit in and out.
Oh,
so
no.
I'd like to know more about, you know, this law that allows neighbors to challenge another's eligibility. It must make for some very strange dynamics inside of that community.
It does. And so now what's happened is that, you know, because of the specifics of what happened in Hancock County, they have agreed through a lawsuit to change the way that they review these challenges. But one thing that I think is really interesting is I did speak with a woman who was on the Board of Elections, and she categorically denied that this had anything to do with race. She felt that the accusations of discrimination were blown out of proportion. I should specify she is a white member of the Board of Elections in this community that is overwhelmingly African American. But her argument was that their electors list was not current. And she said that part of what they did is they followed Georgia state law, that if a neighbor, if a citizen brings a challenge, they have the right, they have the obligation to review that challenge. And I asked her, how did you review that challenge? And she said, you know, we talked to neighbors. We were told that the people didn't live where they were saying they live. I think the thing that makes that tricky is one could also argue, well, that's hearsay. And I did ask her, you know, did you go to the property? Did you knock on their door? Because that's what I did with Merritt Hubert.
Right.
I looked up the address in the voter file, and he was standing outside, you know, his house when I showed up there. And you could make the argument that there are ways to more legitimately perhaps vet where a person lives than just follow hearsay. What I will say is that this is not unique, though, to Hancock County. These challenges are part of Georgia state law. What I think was interesting is that usually they're used on a one-on-one basis. They're not used en masse.
En masse, as they were in Hancock. Asma, just a minute left. I'm wondering if voters that you spoke to talked about the Georgia governor's race, you know, if they've been stirred up by the candidates, either an appeal to, there's been great appeals to reach them and rouse voters. Had they responded?
You know, I did spend some time earlier in the year working specifically on the Georgia Democratic primary. What was interesting is this situation where I went down, I was specifically trying to hear from non-voters. And I will say, Virginia, a lot of these people are very disengaged from the political process. So some of them knew, I should say specifically about Stacey Abrams' race, because I did spend a lot of time with African-American voters. But what's interesting is many of them also were just unfamiliar with her name, including Dante Rump that we met earlier. You know, he didn't know that if she won, she would be the first African-American woman ever to be the governor of Georgia. And I do think this speaks to sort of the uphill battle of just trying to engage a population that at this point has felt relatively disenfranchised for a while.
Asma Khalid, thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
NPR political reporter Asma Khalid, she has been in Georgia and around the country reporting on low voter turnout and other turnout issues.